In the book of Jeremiah, what we have is the time in which Judah, the land of Israel, is going to be taken into captivity into the land of Babylon. And this is during that time. When Israel was at the place where they were, of course, just stubborn to take correction. They did not want to take correction. If you look in chapter number 2, I'll show you just a couple of things. Chapter 2, here's what Jeremiah said in verse 1. I'm just going to kind of skip through some of this. And I guess what I'm trying to do tonight is give us a burden for our nation to take it and look at what happened to them, what happened to Israel. When the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for instruction, for reproof, in righteousness. And he says that all these things, things of the Old Testament, even the things in the New Testament, they were written to be examples for us. Examples of things we should do, examples of things we should not do. And you can't look around, and I'm not necessarily trying to be political tonight, but you can't look around with true open eyes and not be concerned for the condition of our nation and the direction that it's going in. It has been for some time. Ever since they took prayer and scripture reading out of school back in the 60s, and I'm certain there were things previous of that that led to that. Those things don't just happen overnight. And so any time, no matter how small, I want you to listen to me, no matter how small a thing may be, if it is not what God intended or what God asked, then we should not put it away. We should not avoid it. We should do everything that we know. We shouldn't say, well, we could, you know, this is really minute. It's one step leads to another. Always, in society, in the Christian life, you and I, do you know how we're going to get cold? One step at a time. One thought at a time. One entry at a time. One shot of the arrow that the enemy, you know, fiery darts. One fiery dart at a time. And if we don't do anything about it, if we don't put on the armor of God the way that God said and follow after Him, seek Him, seek His hedge, His hand of protection, to be under the shadow of His wings. We don't have the strength to stand out here on our own. We must have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We must take His direction, His leadership. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God wants us to take leadership, to be led by His Holy Spirit. But look, you know, again, I could just say a whole lot right there, but and let's just look at some of the things. And again, I'm just going to kind of skip through here. In verse number 1, he said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying." Now, it's always important to remember the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is our base. It is our rock. It is how we are established. It is our authority. It is what we go back to. I don't go back to, well, I decided one day, because my decisions, they may flip and flop. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And so you have to have that foundation to stand on, to trust in, that authority to declare. When we speak to the world, we don't just say, "I want to tell you something." No, we should say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." They need to know as much as we need to know that what we believe and what we are saying and what will correct our nation is not legislation, but it is the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah had the word of the Lord. And God is going to speak to Jeremiah and give them the things, tell them the things, where they are, what needs correction, or what's going to happen. I mean, it's... They could have turned like Nineveh. Judah could have turned like Nineveh. How many times have we read in Scripture where a nation was on the edge and someone prayed or God's hand was stayed? Why? They turned. And God repented to do what He was going to do. Is that not Bible? So they brought the captivity of Babylon upon itself. What's happening around us, we have brought it upon ourselves. We have brought it upon ourselves. And I cannot point the finger at nobody else but me. There's things that we must, we need to get back to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." We're not seeing a lot of that today. Men of God that are crying out the word of the Lord. Now, when God told Jeremiah, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem," it's amazing that he came to this weeping prophet that Jeremiah was and said these words, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem." I believe God wanted them to hear the voice of this prophet weeping as he gave them the word of the Lord. To cry in their ears. Listen, sometimes that's a great remedy. If somebody could just hear someone weeping in somebody else's ears the word of the Lord, what God has said. If it means much to me, it'll mean something to you. It'll mean something to them. Isaiah, God told him, he was a different kind of prophet than Jeremiah was. He said, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people Israel their sin, the house of David their sin, their iniquity. And so Isaiah was a man that cried aloud, lifted up his voice. We don't see a lot of that today. We're seeing less and less of it. Less and less. And even among independent Baptists, it's getting to where it's almost like entertainment. Entertainment. It's being charismatic. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm not talking about being charismatic by saying, you know, like the charismatic movement. I'm saying they, you know, to have a certain charisma as they speak and talk and the way they do things. There are men that are standing in pulpits that are using more intellect than heart. That's what I'm talking about. Using more intellect and more what they believe would, you know, appear, touch or speak to people or move people than what's down in here. But what's down in here is what truly moves the soul. And that's what needs to happen in our day. And so God, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah said, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. There was a time, there wasn't a nation anywhere that could touch Israel. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Remember when Joshua brought them in to the land of Canaan? Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Amen. I mean, that's when they sought the Lord. That's when they were young and tender. Amen. That speaks, that's a great picture of our young salvation. And we tend to lose that. When God told that church in Revelation, you've left your first love. He's talking about that young, tender love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. Thou wentest after me, and I mean, they looked for God. When you read these words like this, don't let them just pass over. I mean, see what God is saying here. I mean, this was a wonderful time between God and Israel. He was their God, and they were his people. Amen. And now he says, here, ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? What has God done to cause them to turn from him? What sin had God committed that they would say, no more, let's go another way? But has God not provided for them? Has God not given them the land, flowing with milk and honey? Houses that they builded not? Vineyards that they planted not? God had given them the law, the oracles of God. God gave them the prophets, the words of the living God. God gave them His presence, a fire at night and a cloud by day. The presence of God that led them in, that made the walls of Jericho go flat as they entered into Canaan land. What has God done to turn them away? Think about that, about ourselves. What has God done to cause us to not pray? Has God done anything to me? No, no. No. God's trying to get them to see. You know, it'd be one thing if he was like Ashtaroth and never answered. Or like Baal and never lit a fire once on his own. If he were like the other gods, had ears but couldn't hear, eyes but didn't see, and a mouth that never spoke a word to them. But that was not our God. That was not our God. Our God, listen, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll do for us today as much as He's ever done for Judah or Israel or Jacob or Abraham. Amen. He'll open His mouth and speak to our heart. Amen. He'll speak peace to our soul. He'll fill us with His love. Amen. Overwhelm us with His joy. What has God done that we would not seek the Lord? We should seek the Lord. Amen. This nation needs to, look at what it was founded on. And see, their founding was one of God. And if you know anything, listen, and that's why they want to tear down our statues and our beginning. That's why they want to question the Constitution. Are you listening to me? You say, Brother Mark, you're being political. No, I'm trying to make a similarity here. What they're trying to do, I believe with everything that's within me. If you know anything about the foundation of this country, you have to know the hand of God was there to establish what's been established. God bless those men. Bless what they did. Amen. What has been established? God gave light to this land. Light to those men. But we have men and women that have turned from that very hand that guided our forefathers. We need to seek the Lord. He said, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and
where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. When ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. I want you to notice what God said about the land. When you entered in, he's talking to Judah and Israel. You defiled my land. Listen, that was God's long before he gave it to them. He gave it to them because it was his. It's his to give. Everything you and I have, listen, it was God's and his to give. And it is the same with this land. It is God's and it is his to give. Let me hurry and go on down. He said in verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils." He gets right to what he wants to say to them. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I want you to look at this statement. "They have forsaken me." Here's the picture. The fountain of living water. Picture a fountain of living water. I mean a spring of life just coming up out of the ground. Clean and sweet and in great abundance. And they traded that for a bowl, a cistern, something that would hold water. They didn't even trade him for another watering hole. You know why? There is no other watering hole. There's no life outside of him. But they got cisterns going to look for another water hole. And the thing about the cistern they had couldn't even hold water. Nothing that would remain, nothing that was permanent, nothing that could be everlasting. It would leak out. If they found something to put in that cistern, it would leak out. God said, "You've traded me for that." Listen, when we trade out the goodness of God and the ways of God and the great salvation and the fellowship that we have with our God when we walk with him and we walk in the light. That, I mean, what a difference. And why would people think that is the better? Is it because they did something with their own hand? But look at what their hand did. Their hand didn't even produce anything that would hold anything. So, in verse number 30, he said, "In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. In vain have I smitten your children." God tried to whip them. "They received no correction. They are so stubborn, they will not even take correction. When God corrects us, when God gives us correction, it's wise to take that correction. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine what would have happened to Nineveh had they not corrected? They would have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually, they were almost like Sodom, but they were overwhelmed of God's judgment eventually. They killed the prophets. They refused to come to God. Verse 31, he said, "O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel?" Look at the words. He says, "Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee." He said, why are they saying that? Why would they say that? What authority have they to say that? What made them say that? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness? You see, what God is saying is, they refused to come to God. They forgot God altogether. Verse 32, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." My people have forgotten me days without number. I don't know how many generations will go on. I don't know if our nation ever will turn back the way it used to be. Because right now, we're heading toward that days without number. I mean, you could if you've got any of the devices today, I mean you could use some of them in a wonderful way. But a lot of them are being used just for perverseness. But you can find videos on YouTube of men that spoke in generations when our oldest men were young or even boys. And to hear them speak and insert God in almost every sentence, and the Lord and God's word, and to listen to men now that can't even open their mouth without lying. That's a long stretch away from what used to be. From what used to be. They have forgotten. People today say, "I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian." We have people up there serving, says, "I'm a Christian." And they are the farthest thing from a Bible believer. They don't serve the God of this Bible. We need to always serve the God of this Bible. We don't need to forget the God of this Bible. We don't need to forget His Word. First, if you forget His Word, you'll forget Him. You've got to know His Word. You've got to know which one is His Word. That's why there's been an attack on His Word. Forget His Word, forget Him. That's what Satan wants. That's how he will get people away and to forget God. Because every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. But it won't be right in the eyes of God. I don't want to do that which is right in my own eyes. I want to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, Amen. According to God's word. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. That's amazing. Look at verse 33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. They seek the love of the idolatry or idol worship of these foreign nations. What was it when they first came into Canaan's land that God said to them? Go not after their gods. Marry not their daughters. Don't be drawn in to what they have to offer. Remember what I've done for you. Remember my words. But they were drawn to that. They're drawn to that. And they taught the wicked their ways. As if to try to mix religion. It sounds like that mustard seed that grew into a tree. A mixture of both. You got some of our ways and some of their ways. Does anybody else see that in these buildings of fellowship and worship? Some of our ways and some of their ways. A mixture. Listen, God is a jealous God. He's not going to share his house with the devil. He said, you can't eat at my table and eat at the devil's table. You can't drink out of my cup and drink out of the cup of the devil. God is a jealous God. We can't worship Him on the Lord's Day and then worship the world or serve Satan through the week. We cannot do it. Jeremiah, if you study the book of Jeremiah, and I may get into some of this later on if God would let me. But he, again, is crying out to this nation. Listen, there's not a doubt in my mind that Jeremiah loved Israel. He's not doing it to, you know, try to... No, he's crying in their ears because he truly wants them to turn back to the Lord. And to be holiness unto the Lord again. He was put in prison three times. Three times. One time in chapter 21, and he was there for, I don't even know if it says how many days he was in there. May have been several years. I don't know. It was many days. And he got out, and then in chapter, I think, 35 or 36, he was put in another prison by another man. And they must have been water there, because he stayed there for a number of days. But the last prison they put him in chapter 38, they sunk him down into a dungeon, and when it got to the bottom, there wasn't no water there, and it says that. He was stood up in the mire, just like, and the people went to the king and begged him,
Let us go and get Jeremiah. He will die in there. There's no water in there. There's no food in there. He will die. And he would have. He would have died in that condition. They came and they gathered up scraps of material and tied together and dropped it down to him and told him to drop it under his armpits. So I guess they made like a loop or something that he could, you know, where it caught him by his back and under his armpits, and they pulled him up out of that mire. The man of God.
Hey.
That is really what evil men and sinners that don't want God, that's what they think of me and you and of the Lord Himself. They'd just soon drop us in a pit somewhere and let us die as to hear what we've got to say to them. They didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. And he was trying to save them from being taken into Babylon. And it was those other men, it was their ways that got them killed. Many of them killed. And the rest of them taken into captivity. But it was the man of God, it was the believer, Jeremiah, that they wanted to kill, is the one that truly loved Israel and Judah. People, I'm telling you, people, when they get away from the Lord, it's untelling what they'll do. There's no end to how far they'll go in wickedness. I can't go on too much more tonight. I could stand here and just keep going on. We'd be here till morning, and we still wouldn't even have started in Jeremiah. But everywhere you look in Jeremiah, God is giving him a word. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying. That was his foundation stone. Listen, you and I, if we have God's word, we have something, the only thing that can be stood upon. We have a sure foundation against the time to come, the Bible said. A sure foundation. God's holy word. When everybody else is sinking in the sand, we have a solid foundation under our feet. I mean, that's just common sense. To have a foundation under your feet. I don't know if people today can grab that concept of having a sure foundation under your feet. Why? People want everything now and fast and cheap and easy. And the Word of God is none of that. Amen. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it never changes. Never changes. Amen. He said in verse 19 of chapter 2, let me give you just a couple more things. I want you to really see where they are. He said, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thine own wickedness
shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Even the fear of God wasn't in them. Now, God's telling them something about their sin, about their backsliding. Their own backsliding, their own wickedness shall correct thee. In other words, what they're doing is going to cause correction to come in their life. It's going to cause judgment to come in their life. And that's going to be the only thing that could possibly turn them back. Do you know there are some people that don't even turn them back? Now that's somebody that's gone. When their own sin and their own, what they're doing, when it doesn't correct them, I don't know about you, but when mama whooped me, I didn't want to do that no more. I did not want to ever look at her cross-eyed behind her back again. When I was little, mom, she'd go to correct me and she'd turn around, I'd cross my eyes at her. Just being mean, I guess. Wasn't that high. And she caught me. When she caught me, I didn't ever want to cross my eyes again. But it was my own sin that brought correction upon me. It brings reproof. It's an evil thing, God said. It's bitter to have to reap it. You know, when you think about that, you remember when the children of Israel were down in Egypt and they had to kill that lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and then they had to roast the lamb and they had to eat it with bitter herbs. Well, see, that's a picture of the sin and the judgment that was upon that lamb. Bitter. That was a bitter thing. They wasn't going to eat sweet lamb all night. They had to eat it with bitter herbs. Why? Because sin is a bitter thing to reap. It's a bitter thing to reap. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. This is how God dealt with them in the past. And thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. See, they were saying one thing and doing another. God in old time broke their yoke, burst their bands, brought them out of slavery. And they said, we'll never transgress God. They saw the great miracles of God. Saw the Red Sea open up, part. Saw God do great and mighty things. But then, upon every high hill and under every green tree. Well, the very first time, Moses went up in the mountain to talk with God, and he come back down, and they had done made a golden calf. One preacher said, Israel changed God like changing clothes. I don't want to be that kind of believer, do you? Changed the way
I walk with the Lord from day to day. I don't want our nation to continue going. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for ourselves. Pray for one another. Amen. It's easy for people to turn from the Lord. There's so much today to tempt people and draw people. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. That's exactly why we shouldn't do it. I don't want to join the broad crowd. I don't want to be any part of it. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done. I've held you long enough. Thank you.